Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I'm the Big Jack, and welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. And, hey, you know what that means.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, of course, Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how are you?
I'm all right, and I'm ready for the dismantling to continue.
Yes. All right, if you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up over there. Oh, hopefully sometime tomorrow morning, but yeah, I've been running a little later with them, so it may not be until the afternoon. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. That'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at BurkTime, and I will forward any messages along that you might have with Stu. Oh, all right. So we had our first trade last night, or yeah, I think it was last night, or maybe it was two nights ago, of a player where we actually knew one of them. It wasn't just kind of lower minor leaguers for whatever it was. And interestingly enough, it did involve our local Chicago Cubs here. Jock Peterson is on his way to Atlanta. In exchange, the Cubs will receive minor league prospect Bryce Ball. Now, the Braves are also going to pick up the remaining $1.84 million of Peterson's contract, so the Cubs didn't pitch in any money. And the Braves will also pick up the $2.5 million buyout for Peterson's option for next year, depending on what they want to do with him. You know, and obviously this is Atlanta's attempt to try to replace some of the offense they lost with Ronald Acuna Jr. being gone for the year. I mean, Peterson should help a little. He does have power, but he's nowhere near the average hitter Acuna is. You like this deal on the Atlanta side, or did you more like my idea about the blog on Wednesday where they could have sold and maybe rebuilt their farm system?
Well, it was kind of a desperation move. I think that Atlanta may have felt that they still have a shot at winning the Eastern Division. They're only a few games, four games behind or so, something like that. And it's a very weak, very winnable division, even with losing one of their top players, one of the top players in all of baseball. And you know, Peterson, if he got hot, he could hit maybe 10, 15 homers the rest of the campaign with Atlanta. The only thing that concerns me is that his average is not very good. I mean, if he hits 15 home runs and bats .195, will that really help him out all that much?
Well, to be fair, he's never been a great average hitter. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's a .230 career hitter, and that's exactly what he's hitting at the time of the trade. So for whatever reason, the average never came around. So, but yeah, you know, obviously he's a big time power guy. I mean, you know, he has put up 36 homers before. You know, he's at 11 now, so he should get, you got to figure, you know, 20 plus. Maybe if he gets hot, he gets to 25. But yeah, I mean, he's not, you know, he's not elite or anything like that. And, we'll see. Maybe, you know, he's used to playing for winners. You know, he was a longtime Dodger, so maybe going to Atlanta will help him.
What about the park that he'll be playing in? Is the park friendly for a left-handed hitter?
Yeah, you know, I mean, as far as I know, it's not bad. You know, obviously Freddie Freeman has had success there. So, you know, it's worked out for him.
Yeah, I don't think we would put Peterson in the same class as Freddie Freeman, though.
Well, no, not at all. So, but yeah, in return, you know, the Cubs get a pretty solid prospect in Bryce Ball. He's really been looked at as a future big time power guy. You know, he was scuffling a little bit at high A. He's only hitting 207. But he had success in his other two minor league stops, hitting over, you know, over 320 in both places. He hit 337 in just A-ball last year. He does have six homers. Obviously being only 22, he's still multiple years away from being ready. You know, he's not on the Andrew Vaughn track that the White Sox had, but. He looks kind of like the insurance policy in case Anthony Rizzo does decide to walk away at the end of the year, because, you know, he is a free agent. So we'll have to see how it works out. But, you know, again, the Cubs aren't well known for developing players, as you can tell by looking at their team. They're very, you know, even the guys who came through the Cubs system are really scuffling. So,
yeah. I didn't think there was that much of a difference between low A and high A, because, as you pointed out, he was doing very well on low A ball, but move him into high A and he's only hitting 207. So is it that much stronger?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of it depends what league you end up in, because some of the leagues are tailored towards hitters and others are tailored towards pitchers. So if he ends up in one of the leagues that is more favorable to pitching or maybe has more pitching prospects in it, you know, you could run into trouble where, you know, obviously high A is a little better than A. So, you know, we'll have to see when he gets over into the Cubs system. And I don't know where they assigned him. I don't think he's going to South Bend. He may be going to the next team up. And I don't remember who that is off the top of my head. But, you know, we'll have to see. And, you know, if he is a legitimate power threat, you know, that's going to play well in a place like Wrigley Field. So, you know, who knows? Maybe they got something.
Yeah, but I doubt it very much.
And to be fair, I mean, you weren't going to get a top prospect for Jack Peterson anyways.
No.
So, if they got a guy who, you know, comes up and hits 25 homers for him, they did really well.
And there have been a few instances, not many, a few instances of some major league hitters hitting for a higher average at the major league level than they did when they were in the minors. Very few, but it has happened. Well, maybe it'll happen in this case, but I don't think so.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I mean, he's got – you got to figure he's 2 to 3 years away before we'll ever see him in a Cubs uniform. So, you know, he's got some time to develop. And, you know, then again, if they do, you know, and all the reports today are that the Cubs are going to try to sign Anthony Rizzo and Javier Baez to extensions in these next 2 weeks to keep them around. So if they sign Rizzo long-term – it really doesn't matter if this kid develops, because he'll be blocked. So
they think they have a better chance of signing Baez, for example, than they do with signing Chris Bryan, because
yeah,
Scott
yeah,
Boris
yeah
is
I think we all know
with Chris Bryan.
Yeah, there's no way they're signing Bryan.
It's, you know, and no matter who he's traded to, he's not signing there either.
No.
You know, he's a Scott Boris guy. Going to go into free agency. You know, he's going to want that big multi-year, multi-money deal. You know, the exception may be if he goes to a team like the Mets, who have money, you know, they may be willing to give him the deal he's looking for to keep him around.
And I have read that the Mets might be interested in acquiring Chris Bryan. As you pointed out, they have plenty of money to do so.
Yeah, no, you know, there was a lot of talk. You know, the Cubs like J.D. Davis, and he just came off the IL for the Mets. So there are some working pieces there that could possibly, you know, put the things together. But I, you know, I again, I don't know how much you get for Bryant, being that you only get him for, you know, not even half a season.
Yeah, that's a difficult thing to consider, is that what team wants to rent a player for half a season? Only a team that has in serious contention and possibly good enough to go into the World Series, and you think that might be he will bring him over to the top, and they'll make do with half a season if they can get him to the World Series, or at least deep into the playoffs. Well, he might be that player, depending on how he fares injury-wise and if he can get into a hot spot, which is possible. But, of course, we've seen that he's had some kind of cold spells, too, for the Cubs this season. So it's a tough decision for a player, for a contending team, to make that decision whether or not he will help them get over the top or not.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously he would be an upgrade over, you know, Davis at third base. So,
well, of course.
You know, I mean, you know, it is, you know, possible that that could happen. You know, obviously there'll be, you know, other teams in the market for him as well. You know, it's not that, you know, that's not going to be the lone team. So
now there are some teams, by the way, that may be looking to have him for half a season, but not as a third baseman, but as an outfielder.
You know, I mean, he's shown his versatility this year. So, you know, that does, you know, nothing but help the Cubs in being able to find a spot for him. So, you know, we'll have to kind of wait and see how it plays out and where he ends up going. But yeah, I think the market is going to be big, and it's just, can they get something in return that actually, you know, turns into something? Because I heard today that, you know, and I just emailed you about it, you know, apparently Jed Hoyer doesn't want to go through the rebuild like him and Theo did. You know, he wants to do more of a retool, and that's the motivation behind trying to get Rizzo and Baez signed so they can just add and hope that it works out.
Yeah, and regarding signing Rizzo, if they are so intent about signing him to another agreement, why did they make him such a lowball offer that they knew he would refuse earlier on?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, it just seems to be what they do. You know, remember they did that with Brian a couple years ago. They made him just a ludicrous offer of like 10 years and $100 million. And there was no way he was going to sign that. I mean, that was just more insulting. And you do have to wonder, you know, if that's part of his motivation to leave, because they just kind of slapped him in the face. And we'll see how Rizzo and his team handle these negotiations here in the next couple weeks. But maybe he feels the same way, and they're just going to let it play out.
Possibly. And have you noticed a regression in this for Rizzo this season so far?
Yeah, well, he's been hurt most of the year with that back. He's dealing with that back problem.
Well, he has that problem every year. He has that problem every year. But his average
is... Yeah, but reports are this year it's worse.
Yeah, and that could happen year after year now, because he's now, you know, he's, what, 30, 32 or so? And that,
yeah, he'll be 32.
And that back could start acting up more severely year after year after year. So that's another thing to take in consideration when the deal is offered to him.
So, yeah, you know, and again, you do wonder. I mean, we'll see, you know, how it plays out. I mean, to be fair, he's hitting better than he did last year. But, of course, being the shortened season, you can't really count that.
No, I don't.
You know, we'll see how it picks up. But, you know, there are some rumors involving him. You know, the Yankees kicked the tires on him earlier, and I just saw today that Luke Voit went back on the IL. So you've got to figure that they're going to be very interested in him. There are also reports that the Red Sox have considered you know, trying to step up and make a deal for him. Because, you know, obviously while they like Bobby Dalbec and they think he's the long-term answer at first base, he's a rookie and he's had his issues this year. So Rizzo would be huge for a team that, let's face it, has played much more over their head than anybody thought they were going to.
Well, could the Cubs take advantage of that interest and maybe get a little bit more in terms of prospects than they would normally for Rizzo?
Yeah, you know, you've got to figure when you're getting guys like Rizzo and Bryan or Baez, you're going to get two or three guys back. You know, the question becomes, have the Cubs scouted whoever's system well enough to know what they're getting in return?
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of those things we just don't know.
No, have they done their homework?
Yeah.
And one thing you mentioned they may re-sign Baez. Now, maybe a year or so I would have been excited, or 2 years ago I would have been excited to hear about that. I'm a little bit disappointed with the way he seems to have regressed as a hitter this season.
Yeah, well, sadly, that's going to be him. He's going to be up and down no matter what. That's just the kind of player he is.
And he's an exciting player. He's a great defensive player. He'll drive in your runs, and he'll probably hit close to 40 home runs this year for the Cubs. But you can't have an everyday shortstop who hits 220.
Oh, you can now.
Yeah, I guess you can. I guess you can, huh?
So, you know, I mean, they're all over Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and that bothers me. I mean, all right, the guy's a long ball hitter and drives in runs, but 220 to me is not acceptable for a starting shortstop. It never was, but maybe, as you pointed out, baseball is different now. Maybe if you drive in 90 runs and hit 35 dingers, a 220 average will be acceptable, but it's not for me.
Well, now, you know, to be fair, remember, it used to be you would have great defensive shortstops that hit really poorly. You know, so to be almost the norm, you know, as long as you could play great defense at shortstop, it was acceptable if you hit, you know, 250, 220, you were kind of in that area. So, you know, it's just kind of recently where it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, these guys all got a hit.
Yeah, I have noticed, by the way, that in the last week or so, he's been taking his share of walks, which is unlike him.
Yeah, that is very odd that he's actually being patient and walking.
Of course, I don't think either of us think it's going to happen and going to continue that way for much longer.
No, you know, it's not something he does. You know, that's just kind of, you know, against his game, so to speak. So,
by the way,
but you know, we'll
see. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, who knows? And he's hitting 238, so
hey,
maybe he's on the upswing.
Maybe he's on the upswing. And my question to you is, who's now going to be the regular left fielder for the Cubs? Any idea?
Wouldn't it be your buddy? Right? I mean, that would be the first guy, right? They would turn to Hop before they would turn to anybody else, or?
And, hey, well, we're going from a 220 hitter to a 180 hitter, so that's an improvement.
You know, or I guess there is a chance that we actually see Bryant play out there every day, and you know, Patrick Wisdom kind of takes over at third base.
Yeah, that's another interesting scenario, and that one I would probably prefer that. Although Wisdom does strike out an awful lot, but hey, so does everybody else on the team.
So yeah, looking at rosterresource.com is where I stumble around to get a lot of the information. And they actually have Bryant penciled in as the starting left fielder. Now I know Wisdom is dinged up and is out of the lineup tonight, so I don't know or will be out of the lineup tonight. It hasn't been announced because they're out west. But, yeah, but, you know, this is also the same thing that has Rafael Ortega as the starting center fielder. So I don't know how much validity there is to what they've got going on here.
I suppose they can always put Alcantara at third base, but he's not much of a hitter either.
No, no, he never has been. So.
Well, things are certainly not looking up with the Cubs, let's put it that way.
No, it's definitely it'll be interesting. I mean, you know, if they're willing to spend money in the off season, they could turn it around really quickly. You know, if they're able to keep Rizzo and Bryant and they land a couple top free agents, you know, especially in their division. I mean, nobody in this division is any good. So, you know, they could easily get right back in the race. I mean, World Series contender-wise, well, that's going to be a different story. But
right.
You damn well know if they're contending in the division, that's going to be good enough for the fans because they're going to start thinking they're going to win the World Series.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Well, one of the things that really hurts the Cubs is that long-term deal they gave to Jason Hayward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's really hurting them.
I hated that deal. Yeah, something like that, depending on... you know, I'll have to double check here, but yeah, I don't remember what he's got going on. So let me.
The odd thing was last year in the shortened season, he was probably one of their best hitters.
Yeah, it just it hasn't worked out for him. You know, you do wonder, you know, he was one of those guys that got hit in the head, you know,
yeah.
You do wonder if that affected him so much that he hasn't been able to recover.
Yeah, that's really too bad about his hitting because I admire him as a human being, as a ball player, a great outfielder, a great clubhouse leader. But unfortunately, the bat hasn't come around.
Yeah, Hayward is signed for two more seasons after this. He makes $22 million next year and $22 million in 23. So.
Yeah, those are nice numbers. I could live with that.
Yeah, not bad. You know, considering the contract itself was, what, $180 million or something like that?
Yeah.
So
even if they had some interest in another right fielder, they're just not going to eat that contract.
No, yeah, that's, you know, and that's even the part of, you know, people have said, well, you know, you could deal them. The problem is if you deal them, they're going to want the Cubs to eat that contract.
Yeah,
or
no
at least
question
a lot
about
of
that.
It.
No question about
so,
that.
You know, that's just the way it's going to go.
Yeah, well, their tissue paper team and with their regulars and their starting pitching is very weak, so... Luckily for them, though, they can't fall any worse than fourth place this season.
Yeah, fortunately, you know, again, you know, it helps to be in this division. So.
Yeah, interesting that Cincinnati has seemed to be playing very well lately in there, and they seem to be the team that's going to give Milwaukee the most competition for the rest of the season in the NL Central.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how this all kind of ends up playing out with the Reds because, you know, they don't really have a very good pitching staff.
No.
But, you know, they've been managing to win games. So
yeah, they did have a nice pitching performance against the Brewers the other night. I think they beat them 2-0, but that doesn't happen very often with the Cincinnati Ball Club.
No, you know, and they've got another series with Milwaukee again tonight, so it does give them the opportunity to, you know, make up a little ground. You know, the games against the teams in your division are huge. So
is this going to be in Cincinnati?
We'll see.
Is this going to be in Cincinnati?
Yeah, this series is in Cincinnati.
I wonder what kind of a crowd they're going to get for those games because I don't think they've drawn very well recently.
Yeah, you know, I know they generally do overall, but I don't know how they'll, you know, how they've been doing as of late. But you got to think if they're starting to win, they may get a little more support.
Yeah, you would think they have a huge capacity crowd for tonight's game. And I emailed you about the White Sox because we know they don't draw as well as the Cubs. But this is a big, big series for them, playing one of the top teams in the majors. And if the crowd comes out to support them, a capacity crowd, that would make the game tonight really exciting to watch. And I hope they have a standing room only crowd, but it probably won't happen.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, for whatever reason, you know, it just doesn't seem to go that way there. So
no, but this, look at the great first half of the season they've had, and the team they're playing tonight.
Yeah.
You would think that they have at least, at the very worst, at least 30,000-35,000 in attendance.
And, you know, they might. I mean, it's, you know, it's a nice night. It's cool for this time of year. You know, it's only going to be in the 70s. So, you know, maybe it works out.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, I admire this team. I admire the management for what they've put together. And I think we may have briefly touched upon this, but it seems to me that with their devastating injuries that they've had to Jimenez and Roberts, almost everybody they brought up have done the job for them. They've done a terrific job in getting these players to come up to the major league roster and deliver.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's really been a surprise, you know. And I mean, you know, Jimenez is on his minor league rehab assignment, so he's not far away from coming back. You know, I think they want to give him another week or maybe two just to make sure. You know, and then Robert is in instructional league, so he's not far behind either.
Now, here's the question I propose to you regarding that. Say they both come back healthy. Would that have a tendency to disrupt the chemistry of a team going gangbusters right now?
No, you know, I don't think so, because none of the guys that they'll replace are having, you know, breakout years. You know, because, you know, all Jimenez is going to do is plug himself into the DH spot. You know, there's no need for him to play defense. And they don't, you know, Robert is a Gold Glove center fielder. So he'll
yes.
step right back into that role, and it won't, you know, it won't be a problem. You know, and it allows guys to move into the roles that they're probably better suited for. You know, I mean, Adam Engel is kind of that perfect fourth outfielder. You know, get in there, play some defense, get your occasional start. That role really seems to fit him. So, you know, he'll be able to go into that, and then it'll also limit Lurie Garcia's at-bats, which, let's face it, is a good thing.
Yeah,
so,
definitely a good thing. And that means, of course, that Abreu will have to play at first base every game. Maybe on occasion they'll use him as a DH.
Yeah, and, you know, the key there is, of course, he's got to get healthy as well. That's why he's not playing
right.
first base now, because he's not healthy.
No, he's been dinged
so,
up.
So, you know,
dinged up.
You know, maybe with the break and everything else, he's had a chance to, you know, to recover. But here, I can answer your question from earlier. The Cubs outfield tonight is Chris Bryan in left, Jake Marisnyk in center, and Ian Happ in left. So there you
right.
go.
Right. You mean in right field for Happ. Happ is playing right field, or is Bryan
no,
playing
right? Bryan's playing right, Happ is playing left, and Jason
okay.
Hayward has the day off. And
Which
here you go. Jose Abreu is playing first base tonight. So.
Okay. And I would assume then, does that mean that there's a left-handed pitcher pitching for Arizona tonight? I haven't looked at the
Madison Bumgarner is the Arizona starter tonight.
All right.
So.
Well, at least the Cubs are playing
no
a team at least the Cubs are playing a team that is up at their level in terms of competition.
Yeah, you know, I mean, in reality, the Cubs should feast against this team, but they don't necessarily do that. So.
No.
you know, we'll see how it goes.
There's a lot of transplanted Chicagoans who now have retired and moved to Arizona, so I think, as usual, there'll be a lot of Cub fans in the crowd tonight. Not that that's going to make much difference one way or the other.
Yeah, no, they'll definitely, you know, it'll be a solid crowd there for them because, you know, the Cub fans show up. You know, just like, you know, the crowd, you know, what may help Cincinnati is, you know, that's not a terrible drive from Milwaukee. So they may get some Brewers fans there too.
Yeah. Yeah, and, yeah, the Brewers have a nice solid lead right now. So they are definitely the team to beat. And I would suspect they will hang on and win the division.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. So,
yeah, considering that I think both of us picked St. Louis to win this division, but their injuries have done them in, and I don't think they're going to come back from those. They really got hit with some tough injuries this season.
Yeah, that was, you know, just the, you know, that. Well, that's kind of what I do to teams when I pick them, so... You know, I have a tendency to just destroy whatever they do. So.
Yeah, I think the way the standings are right now is the way it's going to wind up. Milwaukee, Cincinnati, St. Louis, Chicago, and Pittsburgh. When it's all said and done, when the season's over with.
So yeah, no, that wouldn't surprise me at all if that's how it ended up playing out. So. You know, just the way it works.
Right. Well, it's good to see baseball back. Of course, as you well know, the big ESPN game was postponed last night between the Yankees and Boston, and it wasn't because of weather.
No. But here, before you get into that, I have your answer to your other question from earlier as well.
All right.
The Reds, let's see, let me make sure I find some home games here. The Reds' last three home games drew a little over 29,000, a little under 37,000, and almost 41,000. Now, to be fair, those were against the club. Against the Padres, they drew a little over 16, a little over 12, and a little over 16. So,
not good. And that was a good team they were against, too. You would think there would be more people to watch a contending team like the Padres.
So yeah, just did not work out. But yeah, you know, obviously for whatever reason, the Cubs, you know, and again, that's a drivable game for Cub fans to get to, so they did. And we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, like the series in Milwaukee did well. You know, the last two games had almost 33,000 people, so we'll see if that carries over into the start of tonight's series.
You would think it would, if the weather is cooperates.
Yeah, and it should. I don't believe there's rain or anything in the forecast there either. So, but yeah, I did see all the moves the Yankees made today. Let me see if I can find them real quick. Here we go. Okay. They selected the contracts of outfielder Greg Allen, who is actually a former top prospect. Catcher Rob Brantley, who's been a journeyman and I think has played for just about every team, and infielder Ho-Jung Park. Now, Aaron Judge, Gio Urshela, and Kyle Higasawa landed on the COVID-19 list. I mentioned earlier that Luke Voit hit the 10-day IL again, and they called up Chris Giddings, who was there playing first base at AAA. So it's going to be quite the interesting lineup the Yankees field tonight against the first-place Red Sox. So we'll see.
Yeah, what is disturbing is that a couple of the guys who came down with COVID, I think, had their vaccine, which is quite surprising, and as I say, alarming, too, because that vaccine seems to be working.
So, yeah, and let's see. Yeah, here you go. Here's what the Yankees lineup looks like tonight. Former Cub DJ LeMahieu is leading off at third base. Giancarlo Stanton hits second. He's the DH. Rougned Odor plays second base and hits third. Gary Sanchez is catching and cleaning up. Another ex-Cub, of course, Gleyber Torres is at short, hitting fifth. Brett Gardner hits sixth in center field. Chris Giddings is at first base, hitting seventh. Trey Lamberge, I'm going to guess this is in right field, hitting eighth. And Tim LeCastro hits ninth in left field. So not the stellar Yankee lineup I'm used to.
No, no, not at all. And watch, we'll be surprised, and they'll wind up and decisively defeat Boston tonight.
Yeah, you know, and that wouldn't surprise. Well, you know, you got to remember the Red Sox are starting Eduardo Rodriguez, and he hasn't been very good.
No. So it should be an interesting game.
You know, we'll have to see how that works.
Would that game be on MLB or ESPN tonight?
That game is on the MLB Network because it's Yankees-Red Sox, and every Yankee-Red Sox game is televised. So.
Yeah. It'll be an entertaining game to watch, see how the Yankees, with their second-rate lineup, does against the first-place Boston Red Sox.
If you have 6 hours to sit in front of your television and watch it, yeah, it'll be great.
Yeah, exactly. And they are the biggest surprise in baseball this season, along with the Giants, no question about it.
And interestingly here, Gittin, who is starting at first base, was hitting .360 at AAA. So.
Yeah, that's an impressive number for AAA. But as we've seen over the years, it doesn't always equate to a top-notch hitter in the major leagues as well.
Well, no, because to be fair, he did appear in 10 games earlier in this season for the Yankees and hit .095. So, yeah.
But he found his stride down in AAA, and now he's going to come back and hit a lot better than he did previously, you would think.
Well, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, I don't know if you saw the Seattle Mariners called up their top prospect again, that Jarek Kelnick, who just bombed when he made his major league debut earlier, and they're hoping after, you know, the stint in AAA that he's going to be better this time around. So,
well, it has happened. It has happened in the past, and a player is sent down, a promising player who didn't live up to expectations and gets some time in and plays every day at AAA and comes back and does a much better job at the plate.
So, you do wonder because, while he was here with the Mariners, he hit he hit only a little better than Gittin at .096. So
there you go. But sometimes these players get those repetitions in and play every day and work on what hasn't worked at the major league level and make some correction and adjustments and go up and do a better job. Let's put it this way. They can't do a worse job the second time around.
You wouldn't think. And he is hitting, .320 in AAA. So we'll see, how it plays out.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
And one of the other interesting things I saw was the Minnesota Twins are in contract talks with Byron Buxton. And, I'm kind of interested to see what you think here. He was a gigantic prospect. He is 27 now. And, when he's healthy, like he's hitting .369. But he's only appeared in 27 games because he can't stay healthy. And obviously not counting last season because of what it was, even though he only played 39 of the 60 games. He's actually only appeared in more than 92 games one time in his, six other major league seasons. How do you judge a contract for this guy?
It's hard. It's for some reason, some players, unfortunately, have a tendency to be injury prone, and that makes it very, very difficult for management to decide what to do with them. I mean, when the guy's healthy, he's terrific. The problem is he's can't seem to stay healthy.
So, yeah, because, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, looking at it, and, you know, I don't believe he reaches free agency till 2023. So they would be eating up an arbitration year. But, yeah, I mean, when you look at it, it's just kind of like, where do you place his value?
Yeah. Maybe the optimistic thinking is that he's had his share of injuries. I mean, are they flukes? It's time for him to stay healthy, and maybe let's take a chance, and maybe now he's turned the corner and he's going to play baseball without getting any serious injuries anymore.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously that's one way to look at it. You know, I mean, you know, he is a great defensive center fielder. So, you know, I mean, that, you know, that's a plus. But again, I mean, you know, he's been basically part of the reason Minnesota has flubbed this year, because, you know, they've played 89 games and he's appeared in 27 of them, and he's still on the injured list right now with a fractured hand.
So, you don't come back from that vet all that quickly either.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, I was just, you know, kind of interested how you value a guy like that. You know,
it's really tough. And I mean, how many chances do you give a guy before you give up on him and say this guy is injury prone and he's going to be that way the rest of his career? Or, as I said before, do you say that, well, he's had a share of injuries and maybe this time he'll stay healthy?
Yeah, you know, I guess you just got to kind of hope, right?
Yeah,
that it worked out.
But the old saying, right, the hope for the best and plan for the worst. But in his case,
yeah,
most of the time it's been the worst, unfortunately for the Twins.
You know, we do have a little breaking news here baseball-wise. This was just announced a little bit ago. The Toronto Blue Jays have received a national interest exemption to return to Canada, and they can start with their homestand on July 30th. So the Jays actually get to go home.
Well, they've been playing where, in Buffalo for the rest of the
season? Yeah, well, they started in Florida this year, and yeah, now they're back in Buffalo. So,
well, I think it's time that they finally get the okay to play home. And, of course, it's not very far from Buffalo to Toronto, so I don't think they have to worry too much distance-wise about moving across the border.
Yeah, no, you know, and, you know, that's part of the reason why their AAA farm team is there, because, you know, it's easy to get from Buffalo to Toronto, like you said. So,
well, it's good that maybe,
you know, that
things are getting better. But every time you think things are getting better, you read these things in the paper that the problem has flared up again, and there are some problems. And look what happened with the game yesterday. We were talking about it, the Boston and the Yankee game postponed, not because of bad weather, but because of COVID.
Yeah, you know, that was odd. That's the first time we've had a team issue like that, you know, involving a team. You know, I know Chris Paul had an issue in the conference finals. But, yeah, to have a team is just weird. And, I know MLB is going to look into it and try to figure out what happened, but who knows?
Well, don't forget, these are, you got 25 players in proximity to one another in the locker room. And I suppose it's easier to contract it than it would for someone, say, shopping at a grocery store.
Yeah, well, you know, and it is odd that it's reported so far that all the players who have tested positive, like you mentioned earlier, have been vaccinated, because they do have players that haven't been vaccinated yet. But it's, you know, so that's just strange.
Strange, and, I wish that the MLB would make it mandatory for the players to get vaccinated, but I guess they're not going to go about and do that.
No, and unfortunately, you know, if they tried to, the union would fight them on it.
Right,
so,
they would. They certainly would.
You know.
Although, in my opinion, it would be the safest thing for a player to do would be to get vaccinated.
Yeah, you would think, especially because, you know, a lot of them have children. You know, I mean, just any professional athlete. You know, they all have children and families and stuff like that. At least the majority of them do. And in some cases, you know, they have young children. So, you know, you would think you would want to do what seems the safest. But, you know, I mean, to each their own. There's, you know, always people on both sides.
Right. And we're talking about Anthony Rizzo before maybe getting a new deal. And he is one of the players who has not received his vaccination, has refused to get his vaccination.
Yeah, wasn't he concerned because some of the medical issues he's had, wasn't that part of his deal?
I think that was, and you can't blame him for that.
I mean,
really. I know he's gone through cancer and beaten it, but I wonder if there's a potential side effect for someone who had cancer, and could that cause it to relapse? I don't know. It's a tough decision for sure.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, you hope he consulted a doctor, you know, before he made the decision and decided that was what's best for him. So, you know, and I mean, like here, you know, like my roommate is unable to get it because she's allergic to some of the stuff that's in it.
Mm.
So she can't get either of them. It just kind of happened.
Well, you have to be very careful and cognizant of that fact. Of course, you've had your vaccination, of course, so that's certainly a plus. But it's unfortunate for her that they can't come up with some kind of alternative for her.
You know, I didn't post my card online like everybody else has, but I do have it right here. If you ever need to see it, I will show it to you.
Right, right.
So
I know there are three different vaccines available. So I guess all of them, she can't take any one of those because they all have similar ingredients.
Yeah, there's so much similar stuff that, in the end, it would probably kill her. Not so much the COVID, but the vaccine itself would end up killing her because of her. She'd have such a bad reaction to it.
How did she know that there was a problem with the COVID? I guess she must have done her research.
Her doctor. She asked her doctor, you know, because she knew she had the allergy. So when she consulted her doctor about getting the shot, he told her flat out not to do it because of it.
So far she's healthy, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. So far so good. So hopefully that keeps up. But all right, let's jump into some picks here on you and see how we do. Now, you know, last week you ended up 2-1 because the Cup game got suspiciously rained out on Sunday, even though it didn't rain. So that makes you 44-41 on the season. You did pick up a game. So we will jump right in here with tonight's Cubs game. Of course, we mentioned they are at Arizona, who has one of the worst records in baseball. It's Kyle Hendricks against Madison Bumgarner. Who you got winning tonight?
Well, I hate to say it, but I'm going to go with Arizona tonight.
Ooh, okay. I wasn't expecting that. I really thought you were going the other way. So we will get that one marked down, and then we will jump ahead till tomorrow where I will find the White Sox here somewhere. Where are the White Sox? Here they are. Houston is here to take on the White Sox. It is Jake Odorizzi starting for the Astros and Lucas Giolito for the White Sox. That's our Fox game, so we'll get to see that nationally, unless they take the Red Sox and the Yankee game over it, but I doubt it. Who you got winning there? You got the White Sox getting a win behind Giolito, or do the Astros knock them around some more?
I am going to go for a bounce-back win for the White Sox and Giolito having a better game against Houston this time.
Yeah, you know, he looked a little better in his last start, so maybe that will continue. All right, we will jump to Sunday where we find somewhere. Where? I can't find the Cup game. Oh, there they are. Oh, okay. It's the West Coast 3:10 start. So let's see. We have Framber Valdez and Carlos Rodon as the starters here in Chicago for Houston at the White Sox. And then we have Zach Davies and Merrill Kelly as the starters in the Cubs-Astro game. Out of those four pitchers, Valdez, Rodon, Davies, and Kelly, which one has the most strikeouts?
Well, I would go with Rodon on that one.
All right. We will lock him in and see how that goes. And then we are going to jump a little off base here on you. We're going to shift back to tomorrow night. It is game six in the NBA Finals. Milwaukee is at Phoenix. I believe I saw that Milwaukee is a slight favorite. I was a little surprised by that for the road team, considering all the home teams have won their games. Who wins tomorrow, Milwaukee or Phoenix?
Now, this is not game six. This is game five, isn't it?
Oh, game five. Sorry, yeah, I'm a little off there. The series is 2-2. Game five. I got excited.
Well, I have to go with Phoenix to win this one, despite that Milwaukee being the favorite.
So there we go. So a little bit of a change up there. We will switch it up and see how you do with basketball. That's not the Bulls.
Right. Well, I'll give you one more prediction, a freebie. I predicted Bobby Lashley.
Right.
I think Bobby Lashley will retain his title Sunday night.
All right, but what about Kenny Omega? On tomorrow.
Ah, that's right. That's right. Well, I think he'll win also.
So, and what's the other? Isn't Roman Reigns defending? I kind of got a feeling he'll hang on to that.
Oh, that's right.
He
goes against Adam Copeland, Edge.
Yeah. So I'm sure he'll hang on. He's their only real mark now. So
yeah, they did a good marketing job with him. They did a good swing when they turned him heel. I think he's very effective as a head of the table heel.
Yeah, he's done a really nice job with that character. I give him a lot of credit for being able to to do that. So
there have been some rumors that Brock Lesnar will be returning for a short stint.
Yeah, I guess the holdup, I read, I can't remember what site I saw it on, but I guess the holdup with bringing him back is they want him to make a few house show appearances, and he has zero desire to kind of that stuff. So,
yeah, now that they can resume house shows, I suppose they would want him to do that.
Yeah, well, especially, their house show advances have been really down. That's part of the reason you're seeing all these new call-ups. So, it's definitely going to be interesting.
If they offered him just select house shows, not every house show, but major market house shows, New York or Los Angeles or wherever they're going, would he consider doing that?
I don't know. You would think he would, but you never know. I mean, let's face it, he's been really spoiled. So, it's just kind of like, he only had to work television tapings, and he didn't even have to work all television, live TV, and he didn't even have to work all of them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it looks like he does get his own way eventually, so maybe the same thing's going to happen this time. Or maybe it'll come to some kind of a compromise.
Yeah.
Maybe a compromise.
And that's what, you got to kind of wonder is if they can end up working something out.
Right.
But I know it was, last week we saw a couple of the ladies debut on SmackDown. Well, I didn't see it because I didn't watch. And I believe there's another woman scheduled for this Monday on Raw. So we'll see if the men start popping up. They had Karrion Kross was backstage with that Bronson Reed, and they did a tryout match so they could see them. So, if they like them, it's possible, we'll see some new guys tonight.
I think Kross has a lot of charisma, didn't he? He won a couple of titles in other organizations, and and seems to have done very well in NXT, and he seems to be over. So he may, I wouldn't be surprised to see him going to the main roster.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the interesting thing behind it is, you know, I think the tip would have been if he would have lost the title on Tuesday, but he didn't.
No.
So I don't think he's quite going yet, but there are some reports that Austin Theory may be the guy showing up tonight. So.
Yeah, I thought maybe they would bring in the former Eli Drake, because he's got a lot of experience in wrestling and seems to have knows how to get over with the fans. L.A. Knight now is his name in NXT. Would they consider bringing him up to the main roster?
I hate that name, by the way. Yeah, you
LA
would
Knight,
think,
yeah.
You know, a guy like, you know, you would think a guy like that wouldn't be far away from being able to do it, but it seems like they want to push him in NXT. So, you know, I mean, he won that, what was it, the $1 million title they brought back? And he's in the middle of that angle. This guy is his butler now. They're doing that angle again. So.
I never watch all these shows to a conclusion, but it seems to me that they seem to have more actual wrestling on NXT than their other brands.
Oh, yeah, they do. NXT is by far the best-booked brand WWE has. You know, and you do wonder if it's because the guys are younger and they're in a little more in touch with what's actually going on. Uh-oh.
Yeah, you know, I don't know even what NXT stands for, but I thought I read somewhere that originally they were based out of Florida, and they were another variation of Florida Championship Wrestling before they changed the name to NXT.
Yeah, well, NXT, technically, it's supposed to be next, meaning they're the next superstars.
Okay.
So, but, yeah, it just, you know how people are nowadays, you just shorten everything, so it's NXT. But, yeah, they started in Florida, and once they got the TV deal, you know, they moved into their own place, and that was the end of Florida Championship Wrestling, I believe.
One of the interesting wrestlers I noticed is a former Samuel Shaw, who wrestled, I think, in Impact, and now he's, Dexter Lumis. He has the look about him to maybe bring up to the main roster. He's not real large, but he does seem to have some charisma in the ring.
You know, what's funny is I knew I recognized him, and I couldn't remember what his name was before when I seen him, so you just helped me out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Samuel Shaw, that's right. I think that may be his real name.
Yeah, maybe. So, but, yeah, I just for the life of me, you know. Yeah, he's, you know, his character is it's very odd that basically he's a creep, but he's over as a face. And it's just a little strange to me. So.
Yeah, he does have that that eerie stare sometimes when he gets upset as an opponent. And I said, how could this guy be a face? But the fans seem to like him.
Yeah, that, you know, it just seems to work out. Well, you know, you'll have to tell us how SmackDown goes later because it's time for us to go.
All right.
So, no, we're going to have this problem again. The music didn't play on Wednesday, and now the music's not going to play again.
There it goes.
There you go. Thank you. Go over and listen to me. Have a great weekend.